How you doing, everybody? Welcome into Sports Talk on this Tuesday evening. I'm Scott Beatty. He is Lauren Tate, and we're with you till 6 o'clock, like it or not. Hope you like it. We're glad to be here. And we have a lot to get to. It's the week of Illinois' opener against Southern University. Illinois basketball tips off officially. The Brad Underwood era will begin on Friday night, 7 o'clock at the State Farm Center. Of course, Illinois football season continues on as well, but Lauren, do we just put that in the rearview mirror at this point?
Well, I think you got to at least have a game against Indiana before you play Ohio State. And obviously, Ohio State isn't perfect. But if you don't beat Indiana, it's going to be a long losing streak.
Yeah, this losing streak already is long enough, I think, in the eyes of the Illini at seven games and Illini fans. I don't know what expectations were. I said at the outset I thought this could be a 3-4 win season, and I'd be pleasantly surprised at a 5 win season. And obviously anything beyond that would have been a shock, knowing what the Illini had. But I would have appreciated a game against Purdue there at the end. But they were in it towards till the last quarter, and then things fell apart, which has sort of been the pattern for this football team.
Well, it's the pattern of all losing teams. You lose in the second half. You know, yeah. The game, you know, usually when you at halftime, most teams figure they have a chance. But weaker teams wear down. Better teams get stronger. We see a lot of these margins of victory build up toward the end. You don't see many games that are 28-0 at halftime, and I think it's kind of like a heavyweight boxing match. There's a feeling out period that lasts for a few rounds, and then the better fighter will eventually take over. And Illinois is not only young, but they're weak by comparison to other teams, and particularly at defensive end. And without going into all the different positions, they're just freshmen aren't as strong as they will be when they're 2 years older.
Yeah, and the number of injuries, the number of freshmen they're playing, it's all been well documented.
18 guys. That was the number we came up with yesterday at the press conference. 18 players either were unable to play Saturday or injured in the game, which was the case of Malik Turner. 18 players. I mean, a lot of those guys were starters, way over half.
It's incredible, and the injury bug, you know, it seems that sometimes you get the karma of the whole thing, if you will, seems to even out over the course of time, but it seems unfairly weighted against the Illini this year. But maybe, I don't know, maybe the part of that is because they're young players.
I wondered about that.
And their bodies just are more breakable,
I wondered about that. I think that might be partially true.
They're doing things with their bodies they've never done before.
You're asking an awful lot.
Indeed. Let's get to some of the headlines of the day. Very sad news coming out of Florida that Roy Halladay has died in a small plane crash. The former Major League pitcher was a two-time Cy Young Award winner. He threw a perfect game. I think believe he threw a no-hitter in the playoffs, if I recall, as well. Unknown if he was the only occupant of the plane or not, but his plane went down into the Gulf of Mexico near Halladay, Florida. In his Icon 85, Pasco County Sheriff Chris Noko said that today during a news conference. No word whether there were additional passengers. 12 seasons with the Toronto Blue Jays, 4 with the Philadelphia Phillies. And NFL news, the Bears have placed tight end Zach Miller recovering from surgery to save his left leg on injured reserve. He had to have repair done from a torn artery he suffered while dislocating his knee during a loss to the Saints on October 29th. Former Indianapolis Colts defensive star and current assistant coach Robert Mathis has been charged with operating a vehicle while intoxicated, endangering a person. A person with knowledge of the deal says the Phoenix Suns have agreed to trade disgruntled guard Eric Bledsoe, the Milwaukee Bucks, for big man Greg Monroe and two 2018 draft picks. And tonight the Bulls play at Toronto. In hockey, the St. Louis Blues skate against the New Jersey Devils.
Off the Bulls, you see where they have Bobby Portis back for that game tonight.
Interesting. He threw the punch against Nikola Mirotic in practice.
And Mirotic is going to be out for a long time. And will they ever be able to play together? I don't know. But Portis is backing up Laurie Markkanen tonight. Markkanen's, by the way, has been pretty good.
He has. My entire step family is Finnish.
Okay.
And so we carry a little extra pride when a Finn is making himself out there. So so they have a term in Finland called sisu.
S-I-S-U,
and there is no direct English translation, but it's basically kind of grit, stoicism, doing what needs to be done, no matter the circumstances. And that's sort of a cultural identity they have around that term. So they're hardworking. And
shouldn't you have more blonde hair?
No? I don't know. You're up north, but there's not always that sunlight to bleach your hair. So I don't know how that will work.
I was a blonde once.
Yeah, you still are a little bit.
That's about 82 years ago.
Big story today in the News Gazette from Julie Worth, looking at the allegations, if you will, from Jay Rosenstein about who foots the bill for athletics at the U of I, and countered well by athletic director Josh Whitman in the paper as well. Basically, as it boils down, this is how I understand it, is he's saying when the University of Illinois or other athletic programs say our funding comes entirely separate from the state, it's all revenue or donations or media, Rosenstein, I think, is saying that's not entirely true.
It's not.
And I still think it's a little bit much ado about nothing. Because
wait a minute now. Those pensions are pretty.
They're heavy pensions, but they don't seem to be out of line with what other schools do.
Well, that's a good point.
Or the number of pensions that are out there for other people in various arms of the university.
But the entire pension system is broken because they don't have the money to pay for it.
Indeed.
I mean, that's serious stuff. I mean, where does it come from eventually? Can we go on like this and they get a 3% raise every year? If you're making $500,000 and you're getting a 3% raise, that's a pretty good raise, isn't it?
Yeah. Rosenstein also points at the student fees that go into athletics and facilities like Memorial Stadium's renovation and the State Farm renovation.
I'm going to get way off the reservation here, okay?
What's new?
But if you're making $13 million more this year for doing nothing, just from TV, if you're getting $13 million more, why wouldn't you take up some of those student fees instead of just spending it somewhere else? It's my opinion. What do you think? I mean, I think it's, I think that the student fee thing is kind of, now, you come back to the point, the students get their tickets a whole lot cheaper, in some cases free for some sports. But I can see where Rosenstein's coming from in this thing.
I think some students, and this was my case, I didn't really think too much about fees because it was just part of the whole thing. But students, every dollar matters.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so bad, because it's all mixed in there and nobody really knows what it is.
Yeah.
Did you really know what you were paying for?
Not entirely.
I
can't remember. This was 20 years ago. I remember we voted on something to increase. I don't know if it was for buses or for some other something on campus. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. I'll pay another buck or two. And it doesn't really matter. But I know there are other people. That's a huge deal, because you're trying to eke out everything you can to get by in college. I guess at the end of the day, it'd be great if there'd be no student fees that are going into athletics.
It's $2 million every year going into the State Farm Center. That's $50 per student per year. 40,000 students, $50, that's $2 million.
But you get to go at a significant discounted rate too to go see games.
Oh, that's true. That's a small advantage. But the other point is that there are 40,000 students and they're not all going to the games.
Exactly. But it's not the same as a tax, but we all pay taxes. I mean, you pay taxes for local schools, but you don't have anybody going to local schools right now. You know, we all pay for things in life that we don't necessarily use.
That's true, but is it right?
I don't know. I guess. And I'd be curious to see what your thoughts are out there. And you can call us at 351-5667. Text line is Castle Heating and Cooling. Text line 351-5357.
I wrote a column one time relative before the before a vote on the student fee came up, and it was the only time I've ever had an athletic director, and this time Thomas, come to me and say, please don't write that. Please don't mention that in your story, because it was such a touchy subject. The student fee was such a touchy subject that he was afraid any kind of, see, if you warn them that it's coming, then they can mount a resistance against it. It just pops up and it goes away and people forget about it. It's included in a whole batch of things that are part of the tuition and fees. And the fees, I bet you there isn't a student over there that can tell you what they actually pay and what they're paying for in their fees.
Right, and most of it is out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of students that don't care about athletics of any kind, matter what school they're
at. A whole bunch of them are going to pick our mascot. They don't go to the games and don't care about athletics, but they want to pick our mascot, right? That's okay.
What, Zippy the Squirrel or
Sassy?
Sassy the Squirrel.
Yes.
Sassy the Squirrel. The soldier seems to be the most. Nobody can argue against a soldier.
You can't boo the military, right?
Well, it hasn't happened yet in college football. But
where did we get off on this subject?
We all started with this article.
My fault.
But the point is I think I was expecting, you know, when I heard that he was looking into all this, I thought there was just going to be a bigger bombshell of this whole thing. And it's not. To me, I know it's a big deal to some people. To me, okay, the pensions are being paid out with public money ultimately. So, you know,
well,
it's a drop in the bucket compared to the whole thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
And you look at the totality of what athletics does for a university. I'm not trying to be an athletics apologist here, but it's the front door to your university. It does a lot of good for your university. So does the Kraner Center for Performing Arts, too. You know,
if I made you king tomorrow, what would you do about pensions?
Oh,
would you put a topper on it?
I would talk to all my teacher friends and all my family that are teachers and ask them what to do.
And they're all getting them.
Because if I did it, anything that they didn't like, I'd be in trouble come Christmas, and I wouldn't want to go home. That's what I would do. Doug Altenberger will join us here in a moment. Illinois basketball season about to get underway in earnest on Friday. Of course, that loss to EIU has some people a little bit more nervous than they thought. Others say, hey, just like Brad Underwood said in his post-game press conference following the game, didn't count. And that's all there is to it. But we'll see what Doug has to say on all of this. Also talk some more Illinois football. Tomorrow, signing day as well for both basketball programs and a few several
baseball.
Other athletic programs too. Baseball will be announcing their commitments also tomorrow. So we'll see how that all goes. But tomorrow should be the day Ayo Dosunmu makes his commitment official with the University of Illinois and inks his pledge to come here. Talk to Doug Altenberger next. We're off and running here. Sports Talk on a Tuesday.
You have to make winning plays if you're going to win. Winning plays are effort. That's all it is. Out-rebounding them by two, that's not effort. Having one rebound from two guys that have played in the Big Ten, that's effort. That's on me. We'll get that right because that's not anything that I'm going to tolerate. We'll get that right.
Brad Underwood, head coach of the Fighting Illini, discussing the exhibition loss on Friday night down in Charleston to the EIU Panthers. He wasn't happy with his team's performance at all, but it didn't count, as he said at the outset. He was there. He watched it all. He was on the radio broadcast and will be again this year as well. Doug Altenberger, former Illinois basketball standout as well. He joins us now. Good evening to you, Doug. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I went down to Eastern, and my son goes to school down there. So they were happy. They were celebrating, and they thought it was pretty cool. So, kudos to Eastern. They came out, and they played well in that second half. They took it to Illinois, and Illinois really didn't respond very well. And I think that's what makes Brad probably the most disappointed, the fight in you. You know, he's a scratcher, he's a clawer, and he wants guys that dive on the floor and give 100%. And I think in that second half, they just didn't respond very well. And he talked about it after the game with us and said that, hey, listen, they're throwing a lot at these guys, and they're young and got a lot of moving pieces, but so far, I really like what the coach is preaching so far.
Well, that to me is the question now. Not did they lose and why they lost and how good is this team or not. The question is, is Brad Underwood the man to turn around that lack of effort and everything else that's going on here? And he said, that's on me. It will change. I didn't hear that quite that same language from his predecessor. And to me, folks have called out the effort of these players before. It's nothing new. But to me, I hear a coach saying it's not going to be tolerated any longer.
Well, when those guys come back off the floor and onto the bench, I mean, he gave Frazier a mouthful a few times. And he loves his players. They respect him. And when you do those two things, you can challenge them. And I haven't seen that since Bill Self. A guy comes off the bench, comes off the floor, goes to the bench, and the coach usually, you know, walks away or whatever, doesn't really tell him. No, this guy goes right at you, tells you what you're doing wrong, what he needs from you. He's going to put you back in, and you got to respond. And, you know, like I said, I love playing for this guy. I mean, it's defense, diving on the floor, and, you know, he lets you shoot the threes. And, you know, but they've got some problems. I mean, he knows that. I mean, rebounding is going to be a problem for them all year. They're not real big on the back line, so they've got to sort of do it together as a team. The guards have got to come back and rebound. Everybody's got, it's got to be a team effort. Obviously, the first half, I thought they played really hard. They didn't play smart, but they played hard. They didn't knock down a lot of shots. You know, they could have easily been up by 18 in that first half if they knocked down a couple of threes. So at first, you know, I would say 16 minutes, great effort. They were getting after it. And towards the end of the first half, Eastern responded, hit a couple threes, and made a couple of free throws to get it, I think, within two or so at half. And then in the second half, you know, they, again, it's just a young team and hostile environment. It was Eastern Illinois is a veteran team. They got a lot of seniors on that team, and they started feeling it. And it's tough when you're going against a team like that. They spread you out, and one of the areas Brad wants to work on as well that hurt them last year was keeping the defender in front of them. I mean, if you're going to play in the passing lanes on the wings, you're going to put pressure. The guy on the ball can't get beat off the dribble. He's got to be able to keep that guy in front of him. And they really didn't do that in the second half. But it's for coach, I mean, he'll be able to use this tape. He'll be able just to motivate them for the next week or so. They'll be listening. And, you know, I expect they're very athletic and they'll respond.
Talking with Doug Altenberger, radio analyst for Illinois. He's a broadcast on the Fighting Illini Sports Network. You'll hear him here all year long on DWS, also a standout in the mid-80s with Fighting Illini basketball.
I knew Doug liked the three-point shooting and hustling. Sounds like Doug.
Yeah, I like those two things, Lauren. Right down my alley.
Well, I'm going to tell you, last night's practice did not make it look any better. They really had a tough one. Boy, was he on them last night. And he wound up putting four walk-ons and Kipper Nichols against the varsity, which I call the varsity. He was alternating about seven or eight guys with it in there. And boy, oh boy, it was a battle. I mean, he walked over to a guy from the New York Knicks that was sitting on the sideline. I believe that's who that was. And he said, I got the wrong guys on scholarship.
And that's the sort of way he is. He's got sort of a funny personality. He says things on the sideline that were just, you know, we were just cracking up. So, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously.
No, and he really gets after him. But, you know, they were trying to correct some of the things that, first of all, they worked on shooting layups while they were being fouled, basically.
Yeah.
Which you want to do. I mean, when you go in there, you're going to get contact. Make the basket, you know. And he was working on that, and then he worked on rebounding. And so they worked on things, and yet when they got into the scrimmage part, the reserves really outplayed them. It was amazing to watch. And
this is the type of system. It's going to take them probably 7 to 9 games. And then once it clicks, it might get, you know, it might be a little ugly there for a little bit. But having watched his style – left two schools. It's just going to take them a little time. But once it clicks and the guys figure it out, they're all, you know, winners or successful in high school, they'll figure it out. But it might be a little, as we say, if you're a little bumpy, you know what I mean? It's going to be, I mean, they'll get a little better. But at the end of the year, it'll be a completely different looking type of team. And it's the way they play and confidence. And because, you know, you're really stretched out. I mean, when you're doing what he needs to do, everybody's got to be know where the ball is. If a guy gets broken down, you've got to help, and then you got to recover, and you got to rotate. And they had a pretty decent rotation. Lauren, I don't know if you remember when they had the little guard from Eastern, and they were running that high screen and roll at the top of the key. The big was coming out and double teaming them, and the little guy couldn't get anything really going. And when he did pass it, they were able to rotate, and they were able to recover. Now, they didn't do that in the second half because he switched instead of double-teaming. But he did that because he wanted to see how the guys responded with a switch versus a double-teaming. So he's doing a little experimenting as well and learning a little bit more about his team. But defensively, you've got to be able – I mean, you know, last year's team, at times. They just let anybody run any offense that you want. They were more of a passive aggressive. You just can't really do that. You got to get out there and force people to make them uncomfortable on offense. And he's probably an extreme to that level, but he really wants you to get after it and push the ball and do all those things. And it's going to be a fun season to watch as these guys develop.
Well, he obviously wears whatever he's feeling and thinking on his sleeves with his players out there. There was just a goldmine of photos to be had of Brad Underwood expressions, and there's a goldmine of GIFs, too, if you want to create them. But, Doug, have you had experiences like that? And how did you respond to a coach that was kind of in your face? Now, and Brad strikes me as one that is that way, but he doesn't strike me as a hothead, which I think is almost a different thing. But nevertheless, he's in guys' faces, and he's letting them clearly know where they need to step up. How do you respond to that? How would you have responded to that?
I think you can't. We had a guy. Lauren will know who I'm talking about. We had a big guy on our team who, if you yelled at him, he listened to the tone instead of to the message. So the key to this is forget the tone, forget everything else. Listen to what he's trying to tell you. And as a player, as long as you know he's he's in your camp and he believes in you. He said a great quote off the radio, and he said one of the guys on the team was afraid to take a shot in one of their scrimmages. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Vanderbilt or whatever. And he told me the story. He said, went up to the kid and he said, "If you're afraid to take the shot, I'm afraid to put you in." Boy, what a great quote.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right there. If I'm a player, I'm like, hey, listen, I get it. And, that's just an example of a couple, nuggets this guy is telling these guys. So as fans, we look at it, he probably looks a little excitable and looks like, he's really in these guys' face. But in the end, he wants these guys to improve. He wants them to be, great off the court as well as on the court. And as a player, you just got to, I was playing, one of the – probably the toughest guy to ever do was Bobby Knight. Coach Knight would say things in a huddle that would shock you. But he in the end, a lot of those 99% of the guys loved him and respected him. And I'm not saying Brad's Bobby Knight, but I'm just saying that he's, as a player, you when you get in a huddle and there's things being said and it can get pretty crazy, you got one mission and that's to win that game, and especially when you're on the road and you got 18,000 people going against you, it's a great feeling when you were able to win on the road and stuff like that. So it's, as a player, I never really listened much to all the other stuff. I just listen to my coach, and because he's got a game plan and he's been studying, and I got to trust him. So that's where key is, trust. And and that's what he's building right now, and that just takes time.
I think they're in a period of breakdown before you build him up. I think that he's really – what I saw, particularly last night in practice, is he's breaking down. He's trying to break some habits. And basically the game of coaching is what Lou Henson always says, trying to get players to do what they don't want to do. But what doesn't come naturally? It doesn't come natural for some of these teams from some of these players to be leaders, to be talkers on the court. I mean,
and you're right, Lauren. The young guys are used to just coming out on the floor in high school, doing what they don't. They talent wise, they're going to be even if they have an off night, they're still going to be pretty darn good. When you get to this level, everybody's just as fast, just as quick, and so you've got to be prepared both mentally and physically, ready to play. And the young guys, there would be times where I played great for two games, and then the next game as a freshman, act like I never even played basketball. So freshmen play up and down. The older guys, again, Lauren, you nailed it. It is a completely different environment, different approach. And you could see some of those guys, being at the wrong place, wrong time, doing the wrong. Nichols held the basketball for about, 2 seconds. And Brad came jumping out of his seat and told him to pass the ball. In the old system, they would hold on to the ball a little bit more. So the older guys are really, you know, are trying to break some bad habits. And no, I mean, when I look at this, it's hard to find, you know, the senior leadership is something that's going to be lacking. And some guys, if someone's got to step up and like you said, be a vocal leader, and you know, he's going to have to search for someone like that. But, you know, the back line guys, it's sort of hard sometimes to be that way, 'cause you don't really touch the ball much, but you can be, you know, with your mouth and, you know, with leadership and with being vocal and things of that area. But, you know,
they're trying to lean on, they're trying to lean on Finke for that. And Finke's admitted some of that's out of his comfort zone.
I don't know if he's wired that way at this point, but we'll see. You know, Brad's going to challenge him. And, you know, right now I think they're all just trying to figure out, you know, where to be and what to do and all these other things right now, because again, they're playing at such a fast pace. This team is more of a, you know, he wants them to throw the first punch, whereas John's team was more of a passive aggressive. You know what I mean? They were a little bit more not under control, but I mean more slowed the pace down a little bit or whatever. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's, I think he is, he's got to own it, and he's got to step up. I mean, we all have to do that. You know, my senior year, I hurt my knee and I came back, and coach really wanted me to, you know, to be more of a leader, and because Douglas was more of the leader on the team. And so, you know, it was a process that you go through, and it didn't come right away, but you know, we had a really good young team, and we had Ken Norman and those guys, and I just said, hey, this is the way it's going to be. And so, you know, fortunate we had a decent season.
Hey, Doug, we sure do appreciate you on the broadcast. I know you'll be splitting time again with Deion Thomas. When's your first game? I haven't seen all the assignments yet.
I think the first game I'm going to Wake Forest, and that'll be the ACC Big Ten Challenge, I think. And then I do a lot of games during the Big Ten because Deion's in the booth. And then, but, you know, it's just a pleasure to work with Brian, and you know, he's just he's awesome, and a joy to work with, and a great guy as well. And Ed Bond, you know, he's been doing this for I don't know how many years, Lauren.
I don't know either. I've lost track.
But they're a great group of guys to work with, and I've really enjoyed it. Learfield's been great, so it's been a pleasure to come back, and thanks for having me on the radio.
Looking forward to stuff like this.
That was gluten-free, baby.
That was one of your great lines. That was gluten-free, baby. Good stuff. All right, Doug, hey, enjoy the rest of your night. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll check in again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care, and go Illini.
Doug Altenberger, and he will be one of the radio analysts along with Deion Thomas this season again on the Fighting Illini Sports Network. Lauren, you mentioned Brad Underwood wanting to break guys down and bring them back up here. And that's something that he talked about on Saturday, or excuse me, Friday night after the ball game, about that he's actually in some ways excited to be in this position right now.
I never forget that I'm a teacher, and these are moments when now you've got to regroup. And I get excited when I find guys at their lowest. And guys, when they struggle, because let's be real, it's not all balloons and celebrations. You have to find out who people really, really are. You got to know who's in that locker room when it's hard. I'd rather do it now than in January or in December. And we didn't run offense. We played selfish. Okay, we can work on those things. We shot 34%. We can work on those things.
So we'll see what happens with the Illini. And as Doug mentioned, too, it might be bumpy. I thought this before they lost to EIU. Of all these soft opponents, if you will, on the schedule, Southern, Tennessee, Martin, DePaul, Marshall, Augie.
Oops, DePaul, be careful.
Yeah, that's why I changed my tone there. I think DePaul, sort of. North Carolina Central. I mean, these early games, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a stumble along the way to somebody that you should beat. I think the key is with Brad Underwood teams is they historically get better. And there's going to be a lot. And the team that will be on the floor here in November, December won't be the same one that's there in January and February. You just don't want to lose too much early.
No, and it might not even be the same players. He's going to have to find some things. He's got to find out what Allstark's made of. Ostrock is supposed to be a scorer, and we've had three games here where three exhibitions where he hasn't been particularly effective, and I'm not sure about Oveig Boyden, but he may wind up playing extensively, even though he's not going to be a shooter. He's not going to be, but that isn't his. That wouldn't be his job anyway. They may need somebody around the basket to block a shot and get a rebound.
The problem is if you put LaRon and Finke out there at the same time for too much, they're going to get in foul trouble.
One of them
need
will.
Something
yeah.
off the bench.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's enough
no.
without one of them on the floor.
That's right.
And you ideally would want both of them on the floor in terms of your strongest post, but you don't have anything behind them right now.
No, not yet.
But it doesn't seem to be rattling Underwood. I think it rattles the fans more than him. You know.
I would say this. Underwood has a style in public that is just terrific, but that isn't necessarily what he's really thinking.
Well, sure.
I mean, I've seen some things, you know. I mean, he's got some real problems on developing this team. He's got some real problems. This team is going to be picked 12th, 13th in the Big Ten, 11th, 12th, 13th, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are at least seven or eight teams in the league that are just look like postseason teams, look like NCAA tournament teams. It's going to be very hard to get up into that group. And then you've got a group right below that. You got Penn State, which is pretty good. You got Iowa, which is pretty good. You got Indiana, who's got a decent starting lineup. You've got Ohio State, which traditionally is pretty good. These are all teams that don't figure to make it. These are all the teams that Illinois is really going to be competing against.
Yeah, I think at the end of it, everybody would like to make the NCAA tournament. I don't know if it happens this year, but I think this year you see that it will happen in the next year.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate, although they need to get a big man. The rebounding is really – they've got one guy that can
said every Finke, fan base in every
Finke
school.
Finke played 20 minutes the other night. How many rebounds did he get?
Well, there was one between him and Black in the first half or something.
Black got four in a game. Finke got none.
Yeah. You cannot live like that.
No.
You can't. Even if you know how to play small and sort of swarm the ball down low without being oversized, you still can't live like that. But one thing is Underwood will demand it. He won't live without it.
But with Ayo Dosunmu coming in next year, that will strengthen the backcourt. And, Smith developing, I think you'll see Smith come along very well this year, Mark Smith.
We'll take a timeout, come back with more, a chance for you to jump in at 351-5667 or on the Castle Heating Cooling text line 351-5357. Also hear a quick conversation with Jalen Kirkpatrick from Illinois Women's Basketball. .551, 46 degrees, sports talk on this Tuesday. Men's basketball opens up Friday night at the State Farm Center. Earlier that day, it will be the beginning of the Nancy Faye era for Illinois women's basketball. Had a chance today, myself and Bob Osmussen from the News Gazette, to talk with returning player Jalen Kirkpatrick. Here's that conversation. How are you guys feeling going into game one under a new coach? It's a few days away.
Yeah, we're all really excited. You know, been working hard for this all summer and preseason, so we're ready to go. We've had a couple practices at State Farm. We're going to get some more looks in there this week leading up to our game. I think for our freshmen, you know, they're so excited. It's their first time in a big arena like this. And for Coach Faye, too, you know, I know how excited she is about being at State Farm. So we're all ready to go, excited and ready to compete.
You say excited. How about nervous at all?
I mean, everyone gets those nerves, but I think it's a lot more of just being excited to get back on the court. Once the ball touches our hands, I think we're just good to go, you know.
How much do you want to win? You already want to win. How much do you want to win, though, for your new coach?
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. She comes from a winning program, and she really won't accept anything less. So I think for us to have that mentality of grit and passion and competing, we want to come out there for each other, for our teammates, for ourselves, for our families, but more importantly for our coach too.
What do you think the biggest thing people might notice game one that'll be different from the seasons past?
Definitely tempo. And I would say offensively, our organization on the court. Something she's touched upon in some of her other interviews that I see a lot too is that we're still looking to go to some of our stronger players who are great at attacking the rim. And, you know, Alex has that great pull-up, so does Brandy. But we're also doing it within an offense that the shots are expected, so you know where they're coming from. And that way people can get in position to rebound, and there's a lot more flow to our play. So I think that'll be a huge thing for us this season.
Does that mean offensive rebound is a big focus this year?
Yes, rebounding offensively and defensively is something that coaches put a lot of effort into with us. And she breaks it down a lot to just grit and passion and the willingness to compete.
Does this feel like a fresh start for you guys, you know, for the whole team? Does it feel like a day one for you playing with a new coach?
Yeah, for sure. When we first came in, her first day, she looked at us and she said, "You're all 15 freshmen to me." You know, it's a new system. It's a new coach. Everyone has to prove themselves from the bottom up. So, for sure, it definitely is.
Do you remember your first day playing? Do you remember it pretty well?
I do.
What happened? You guys won, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I remember when I first walked out into State Farm, since I was a little girl, I was always the first one out. That was my way to, you know, get my mind right before the game. And just being by myself in that arena and looking out and seeing all these seats, you know, all the people who would come and support us at our games, it was just an amazing, overwhelming feeling.
This is her first time since you were, before you were born.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to imagine, you know, what it must be like for her, given that she's never, hasn't done this for a long time.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for her, and she's told us countless times how excited she is to be at State Farm with us. I think that she's going to bring us a lot of passion this season. You can see it in how she coaches, and I think we're going to be really good.
Do you get a sense of what she's going to be like during game day, like on the court? How's she going to be? Do you know yet, or is it hard to tell?
I have an idea. I mean, through practice, I think that she won't accept anything but the best from each player. She's a very fair coach, but she is not going to give a lot of second, third, fourth chances to a player. She's going to be very fair with that and demand something of you and hope that you perform.
What do you expect to be your role, for at least for the early part of the season?
Mm-hmm. I definitely see myself as being a quarterback on the floor, helping girls get into their spots and orchestrating offense. I think a strength of mine is helping girls get their shot, and we got some great shooters on our team, great drivers on our team, so helping them find those shots early on. And then I've also been working a lot on my three-point shot, so that's something that I would like to bring to this season as well.
So do you see yourself as mainly a point guard, and will you share time with Brandy on the floor together?
Yeah. We've worked on me being the one, Brandy being the two, switching it over back and forth. We play well together, and I think we're both confident having another strong ball handler on the court with us. So I love playing with her. But, yeah, it'll go back and forth a little bit. I mean, it's all up to coach. We'll see what happens.
Hey, best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, the Illini women open up their season under Nancy Faye. 46 at 5:56. Just a moment longer here on Sports Talk. Tomorrow, Lauren, it's signing day for Illinois basketball, women and men. Io DeSumno, we haven't heard that he's not coming, right?
Oh, no, he's coming, I hope. As far as I know, he's
coming. You never know. In fact, nowadays, until they show up and put on a uniform.
That's right. You can never be certain.
But all indications are Io is honoring his commitment.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
We'll find out what Nancy Faye has as well. Dan Hartlib will announce his signings tomorrow as well. Of course, football now, that'll be announced after the new year, because they moved that, or is it just, I'm forgetting now.
December 20th.
Yeah, they moved the date, though.
Yeah, it's around the 20th of December. I think it's the 21st, I'm not sure.
Lauren, we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. Thanks, Blake Landa, behind the scenes. Thanks, Doug Altenberger, for joining us. Most of all, thank you for listening. Sports Talk again tomorrow at 5 o'clock. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station.